Well, good afternoon. I'm supposed to demystify performance management. If I had a half hour, I could do it, but 15 minutes, I'll come as close as I can. I'm not going to do all of the slides that are in here. You can look at some of them later in the process. But one thing we want to focus on is that as we look at the performance management system, some of you are familiar with Turning Point. And with Turning Point, in this case, you know, we talk about performance standards and performance measures. And most everybody does pretty good at that. But reporting of progress is a place where I've seen, and doing this with a lot of different organizations around the country, they don't do a good job reporting of progress. And they don't do a good job of using that reporting of progress to come up with good quality improvement projects. And part of what you see in this case as you look at the thing is leadership and culture has a big part in using the performance management system correctly. Leadership has to be using it in an effective way, and people have to see it being done that way, and the culture has to be supportive of using a performance management system. One thing we do a lot, Public Health Foundation, is using the Plan, Do, Check, Act cycle. And one thing, when you look at this, it supports the process of doing a performance management system. So, you know, in the plan, you develop improvement plans and targets. In the do part, you implement improvements and you collect data. Monitor, analyze, and check, and interpret the data. This is something I find a lot of people don't do. And I've had a number of jobs in healthcare and running a hospital. A lot of people are very good at monitoring and analyzing, but they don't interpret the data. They don't take action. It just keep reporting it. And then you got to really look at that data when you do the interpretation, is you really want to make sure you decide on further improvement. What else are we going to do to make things better? So looking at the system, and most of you are familiar with this, you know, plan, we have a number of plans. We have the strategic plans, operating plans, and the budgets. And then the do, you know, we get into the program and the policy implementation. And then we operationalize QI. And then check, that's a key part of this, you know, analysis of the results. And then we want to act, do something with it. We get all this data, what are we going to do with it? So this is where we put in our expectations. This is where we use the PDCA cycle. This is where data comes into the process. Now we take the data, you have to have people look at it, analyze it, interpret it, and turn it into information, because data by itself is not useful. You've got to be able to interpret it, make it into information. And then you have to set a direction. Are we going in the right direction, wrong direction? How do we improve? So part of this, you really got to engage your leaders and managers, the employees, you got to engage partners, and there might be other stakeholders. And again, you need a good information technology backbone. You got to be able to get the data real time so that you can look at it and use it, not later. So again, as we look at that same slide, one of the key things is as we start to look at the Turning Point model and you begin to look at this, you know, in the first two places, expectations, standards, and measures. Again, quality improvement hits all of the quadrants. Reporting of progress, data and information, key parts of the performance management system. And the other part you want to look at is there's four types of plans. I always talk to people about, you know, there's your health improvement plan, there's the strategic plan, there's the operational plan, and then there's the budget. And what I find a lot of places I've been is that sometimes there's a disconnect between the strategic plan and the operational plan. It wasn't deployed well. We did the budget someplace else because this is all the money we had. It doesn't support the operations. So there's gaps in the system, and they need to be tied together as you go forward. So again, we need to focus on those strategic change that we can support the ship of the chip. We need to cover all programs and organizational units. They have to be contributing to this. And when you look at this, as you come down the system, you know, we all have vision and mission. We all have a strategic plan around health improvement. We have a strategic plan with priority change goals in every place. We have operational plans with objectives, performance measures, and targets. We have performance budgets with negotiated targets. And then we get down to really the ground level, where we're actually doing something. So as you come down, you think, you know, you're at a very high level, right down to implementation. And part of this, as you're doing it, is the performance measures and the expectations really start at the top. They give you a line of sight. So if I'm at the very top of this and I start to look down, I should be able to see what's happening down below is aligned to the strategic plan. And it's aligned to my objectives and so forth. So, you know, Dilbert is always good, and we always talk about goals, you know, and he says every company needs goals. We have division department goals, district goals, personal goals, affiliate goals. You'll all be attending a four-hour training session on how to write goals. Every week you'll report on how you do to compare your goals. Those reports will be entered into a giant database. I mean, you know, Dilbert always says, won't the size and complexity of it make the database impossible to know what's really happening? Yes, that's why your raises will be based on what you look like. You know, bummer for you, Alice. You know, so those are the types of things you see in goals. And one of the things you find a lot of times is confusion between goals and objectives. And we spend a lot of time in our performance management systems that we use and train people in is really focusing on goals and objectives. And this is an idea, and you can look at this, you know, a goal, an objective. And then the important part is the associated measure. What is it that you're going to do in this case? And really have those measures align now to the goals and the objectives. So when you deploy the system, you know, that's one thing. You know, you send it down. But very few people do reviews. They don't do the feedback. They don't bring it up through the system so you get feedback. Because you remember, this is a living document. I always find it's interesting when I go to a health department and ask them, you know, they want to do their strategic plan over, can I see last year's? And it's always interesting when somebody says, I know it's around here somewhere. Here it is. And they pull out a notebook, blow the dust off it, and say, this is what we did last year. And we do this every year. It's an annual ritual that we go through. So again, you need feedback regularly. You need to be reviewing it every month and getting that feedback in the process. So a few lessons I have learned in this process of doing it is start small. We always tell people is, you know, start off in your programs with one or two measures. Make sure you understand strategic measures and grant measures, because they don't always align. And one thing I always do when I'm working with the health department is, when we start, is I take the, I have a little matrix I've made up, and I put down, you know, here's the strategic goal one, here's the five objectives under it, and do it for each one of the goals. And then go to the departments and find out what measures align to those goals and objectives. Usually 50 to 70% of the time, the matrix is blank. What happened? Well, it either wasn't deployed well, or what people are measuring don't align to the strategic objectives. In some cases, the operational units, there's no pressure to follow the strategic plan. And what you want to do is make sure you can roll it up so that things happen. Or maybe those goals or objectives that you have, nobody finds them useful, and they're not really needed. So you need to go back and look at those gaps where you don't have any measure. The other thing is to, you know, just do this and not take any action on a performance management system. What happens? You know, do something with the data. You know, on a regular basis, you should be reviewing it and so forth. I always go back and tell an example that I have. A number of years ago, I was running a hospital, and I was first there. I went to medical staff meetings, and the person, the nurse, came in and reported on patient falls. I was running an orthopedic hospital, which wasn't good to have patient falls. And the first month she came, and the data had gone up from the previous month. And the person got a beating from the medical staff, verbal beating. The next month it went down. Everybody goes, wow, fantastic. Next month it went up. So I saw her after the next, that third meeting, and I said, what have you done in between? Nothing. I just report the data. Nothing happened, you know. So it was just random occurrences of people falling. So how do you fix that type of thing? So you need to be able to take action. The other thing you need to do is review it every 3 months. 6 months. And in the process, look at what you're getting. What's the data telling us? Are the measures we have realistic? And sometimes when you start a performance management system, it takes 6 months to get the right measures. So start small, use two or three measures to start off with, and see how they roll up. And make sure that when you have a measure, it ties to a strategic objective and it ties to one of the goals that you have in that process. So I'll turn it over to Julie and let her take you.
Thanks, Jack. My name is Julie Sharp. I'm a performance improvement specialist with the Public Health Foundation. And if you're trying to demystify your performance management system, we wanted to share some resources with you that might be helpful. I appreciate that these are long URLs, so please don't feel like you have to scribble them down. I've got this in a handout form, so please come see me after, and I'll be happy to share this with you. We're going to talk briefly about these because I've gotten the five-minute warning, so I apologize if I rush through a little bit. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the Performance Management Toolkit. It's designed to help people understand performance management and how to really develop a successful performance management system. It's comprised of two areas, the first being approaches to performance management. This is information and resources to develop a performance management system and to continuously be improving that system. You're going to find some self-assessments there, as well as some case stories from health departments that have successfully used and implemented performance management. The second part of the toolkit, Performance Management Systems Framework Components and Resources, provides information about the framework itself, the slide Jack shared about the Turning Point Framework, as well as the components in it. Outlining practices by which performance management can be achieved. So it talks in detail about each of those components listed there below. This is just what the website looks like. So if you go there, you're going to see clickable links to all kinds of additional information. Again, this is the URL, but I have that in a handout format. So if you don't feel like writing all of that down this afternoon. The second resource I wanted to share is something called the Public Health Improvement Resource Center. This is designed to serve as a searchable database of resources in public health. These resources are things that have been created by the field, and recently, this year, they've all been reevaluated for their continued inclusion in the database. We're hoping we have a current and comprehensive set of resources, but we know people are constantly developing new and innovative things, and we want to get our hands on those so that the rest of the community has them available. The Public Health Improvement Resource Center can be searched by the domains of accreditation, the essential services, and other categories there, focused on performance management, quality improvement, accreditation, workforce development, and just day-to-day public health activities. It's funded by CDC, and the newest category down there, public health and healthcare, talks about where those two areas intersect. So there's quite a few resources there. So this URL is a little easier. You visit the Public Health Foundation website, phf.org/improvement. And if your organization has a new and innovative tool or resource that you'd like to share, we're always looking for more. phf_resources@phf.org. The resource will be evaluated and within a month or so be included. And we try to feature new and exciting resources as much as we possibly can. We're always looking for more. There's about 500 resources in there right now, but it's growing every month. So if you go to the website, this is what you'll see. You can click as many or as few categories as you'd like. We did a search on quality improvement by checking a box, and then we get resources, and you can see there's pages and pages of resources when you use a keyword that's that general, like quality improvement. And then performance management, technical assistance and training. Public Health Foundation also provides technical assistance and training in the area of performance management. What you see on the screen are a list of current offerings, which are conducted by Public Health Foundation's quality improvement experts like Jack. We're happy to talk to you about organizational needs and try to create a meaningful experience for you. We are here at booth 820, so feel free to stop by, come visit us after the session, and we can talk a little bit more about your organizational needs. We know that APHA is a busy experience, so if it doesn't work for your schedule to chat with us today, you can send us an email. You can also contact Margie Beaudry at her information there if you're looking for something very specific. And I see people taking pictures, so I will wait just a second and let you get your snapshot. Excellent. Okay, so the Public Health Foundation, besides the resources that we've talked about today, have a lot of other areas where we can support public health practice and quality and performance in public health. I wanted to highlight TRAIN, the Learning Management Network. There's a correction I'd like to make to this slide. TRAIN just celebrated their 1 millionth learner in the last week, so we're really excited about that. But we have other resources, so thank you very much.